more competent, etc. So now, just this year, they're pushing for reforms. Gloria Macapagal Arroyo is suggesting or proposing K plus 10 plus 2. Have you heard of this?
Huh?
Yeah, have you heard of this?
No.
It's a very crazy reform. So K plus 10 plus 2, it means that the repeal of K to 12, so that's 5 years down the drain, like all the structural changes for nothing. Second, only retaining up to grade 10 as mandatory, while grade 11 and 12 optional for only those who want to go to college. For example, you don't want to take college, then okay, you don't have to take 11 and 12 anymore. You can be graduate again. Basically, they're reverting back to the old education system without actually resolving the root causes of crisis in the education sector, like the lack of facilities, budget, etc. So they keep on attributing it to the curriculum, when in fact that's not really the chunk of the problem. The problem is the low budget, how our curriculum is colonial oriented and not for and by the needs of the Filipino people. Basically, rendering K-12 materials obsolete kasi parang wala namang may gustong tumuloy talaga ng 11 to 12 eh. No one really actually wants to continue to 11 and 12 because of how expensive senior high is in the Philippines. So, you'll end at grade 10, and what they're doing right now is lowering the age requirement for apprenticeship programs. Basically, they want the youth to go into internships, apprenticeship programs to make them job ready. But in reality, it's just unpaid labor for corporation. Unpaid overworked labor. So per year level, there's a new development. So basic ed, we have the matatag curriculum. It's already being implemented right now. Pilot yung ilang schools pa lang siya ini-implement, but it has already started. The next is sa senior high, we have the K plus 10 plus 2 being railroaded. And then for college, there's the mandatory ROTC program, Mandatory Reserve Officers Training Corps. So that's a major campaign of the youth right now, the program. So in a nutshell, the development of the bill right now in the House of Representatives, it has already been passed, though it's not termed as mandatory ROTC. What passed in the House of Representatives is the National Service Training Program, National Military Service Training Program. It's different by name, but it's the same in nature. It requires 2 years mandatory of military service for all undergraduate students free to graduate, male and female. Sabi ni Mato, kung ayaw daw natin ma-discriminate, dapat female. NCSTP, National Civil Service Training Program. That's the name of, that's what passed in House of Representatives last December, that version. And then now, they're discussing it in Senate. Mas pronounced and mas malala yung sa Senate because outright, they didn't even bother packaging it in another name or in another face. They adopted mandatory ROTC in the name itself, no, as authored and proposed by Senator Bato de la Rosa and Robin Padilla. And they use, so it's more difficult in Senate because there are less. Senate is only composed of 24 people. And as of our last configuration, the stark opposition to the bill is only Risa Ontiveros, then Soso, Chis Oscadero. Mm-hmm. And they justify this by using the intensifying tensions in the region, like the Chinese and US conflict. They're saying that, every youth should be prepared to go into war because China might attack us anytime soon or whatever foreign aggressor might attack us anytime soon. Therefore, all of us should know how to use arms. But that's what's problematic because in the first place, the army in the Philippines are not even being used for defense. They're being used against the Filipino people. So That's what danger. That's really dangerous about the mandatory ROTC program. Apart from the fact that it will not really serve for defense of our country, it forges fake nationalism. It is rampant with the culture of violence and harassment. No, the program itself is very corrupt. You just have to pay your cadets or officers so that you won't finish your. Or so you don't have to do your drills, you don't really actually learn anything. And then there's also this prevalent hazing, not in the program itself. So the reason why it's not mandatory in the first place is because there have been students that were killed under this program, killed by their higher officials, by their cadets in the program. So it was declared to be non-mandatory in 2001 because of these cases of corruption. Mind you, that person that got killed, Mark Wilson Chua, he was killed because he was planning to expose the corruption in the program. So before he was able to do this, days later, his body was found in a river. And it was later verified that those who did this were his cadets, for fellow cadets, higher ranking officers. Yeah, there. So as for the youth sector, that's like the whole education campaign we have right now. There are three major economic reforms on the table: the Matatag curriculum for basic education, the K plus 10 plus 2 for junior high, senior high school students, and then the mandatory ROTC program. Out of all of these, the most immediate and urgent is the mandatory ROTC program, because anytime this month, it can already be passed into law, because based in practice, Marcos can railroad any law in just a few months' time and it will be passed. That's what he did with the Maharlika Bill, the Maharlika Investment Law, which was enacted like in a few months' time. And the mandatory ROTC is at his most priority, because this will give justification for military camps and campuses. Like, this bill is so dangerous to the extent that military, the armed forces of the Philippines will be allowed to go around the universities, the classrooms, which they have this very rich history of red tagging, you know, progressive organizations. Anak Bayan has been at the receiving end. All of our organizations here have been at the receiving end of intense red tagging by the state just for having these ideologies or these discussions. And that's what's so dangerous also about this. This will stifle academic freedom in our schools. No, there will not, they won't be schools anymore. They'll just be camps for learning, not even learning, no, with just taking in what the government wants you to take in. Yeah, no, so that's for the youth.
Ng hirap at dusa sa isang panahon ng pagsisimula. Pinagbuklod tayo ng pagsasamantala at ng mithiing lumaya.
Ang bawat pagsubok ay ating sinuong, sa bawat labanan ay laging pasulong. Tayong manggagaway, magkakapit bisig sa iisang kilusay tumindig.
Sandaang taon ng dakilang pagkakaisa. Sandaang taon mabuhay ang pakikibaka. Sandaang taon ng ating kilusang paggawa. Pananagumpay ng digma. Pinapanday tayo ng mga tunggalian, lalong pinapanday.
pinatatag ng mahabang karanasan. Lakas natin ay mapagpalayang kilusan, nahahawak ng kapangyarihan. At ating kasama'y mga magbubukid, at ang sambayanang hindi magagaig. Tuturugin natin imperialistang ganit hanggang lumang tanikalay mapatid. Sanggaang taon ng dakilang pagkakaisa, sanggaang taon mabuhay ang pakikibaka, sanggaang taon ng ating kilusang pagawa, pananagumpay ng digma. Sanggaang taon mabuhay ang manggagawa, sanggaang taon mabuhay ang manggagawa, sanggaang taon mabuhay ang
You have just heard Sandaang Taon by Tambisan. As we wrap up this interview, we extend our gratitude to Rachel for sharing her thoughts and wisdom with us. Now, for our valued listeners, particularly the younger audience, what final message would you like to leave them with?
It's very crucial to understand the crisis that is happening right now, not only in the Philippines, but in the whole world, is that the imperialist powers at play, the worsening crisis of imperialism, moribund capitalism that's driving more people into the revolution, providing the conditions and justifying the need for fighting back, may it be in any means possible. So, especially for the Filipino diaspora here in Switzerland, there's a very big challenge for us to, of course, continue to amplify the struggle, what's happening in the Philippines, what's the Philippine government doing right now to human rights defenders, to activists, to everyone that's basically just being critical and vocal of national and social issues. We have to amplify these and of course gravitate, organize them to organize as much as we can to support the Philippine revolution, Philippine struggle, and what in any way possible. And of course expose, oppose, and isolate the US government in its imperialist warmongering in the Philippines and in the region. So, yeah, and lastly, for the youth, it's a very important for us to be aware of social issues, take a part in conducting different discussions, activities, joining in different mobilizations, basically joining the collective struggle, because what society, what future will we inherit if we do not fight back now? Our future rests in our hands and in our fight with other sectors, the working class, the peasants, and the women, for a future that is forged for and by the people. So for the youth, let's turn our grief into revolutionary courage, get ourselves organized, and mobilize for national democracy.
Kayo ay nakikinig sa Pawikan, the only Filipino radio in Zurich, 97.5, Radio Laura.
You have just heard a captivating interview with Rachel of Anak Bayan Philippines. This is Edna on the microphone. Thank you for staying tuned with us on Radio Pawikan, 97.5 MHz. Brought to you by Radio Laura. Magandang gabi at salamat sa pakikinig. Padayon!
My name is Lily. Thanks for tuning in to Radio Pawikan. 1 hour of Philippine radio where we find out about Filipino culture and everything in between and what that means. Thanks for tuning in to 97.5 MHz. This is Radio Laura. Stay tuned.
Para sa sambayanan. ay sa militar na kasalalay, pamamahala ng estadong dilaw. Di hamak na isang aglahi kung sakin ay merong mangyari, ngayon pang may demokrasya na raw.
Tuloy ang laban, hanggat gobyerno'y para lang sa ilan.
Sa welcome bayan, sa welcome bayan, tuloy ang laban para sa sampayanan.
Tuloy ang laban hanggang magkahusan.
Tuloy ang laban para sa sampayanan.
Tuloy ang laban, tuloy ang laban.
Please tune in to Radyo Pawikan from 7 to 8 p.m. every Wednesday at 97.5 megahertz.
Schalt dein feministisches Radio Alora ein und stell dein Radio ans Fenster, den Balkon, in den Garten, die Zelle, das Asylzimmer. Reclaim the streets, reclaim the Radio auf 97,5 MHz.
Give it back. Edith Camargo, ich bin Hörerin vom Radio Lora in Zürich. Ich höre gerne Radio Lora wegen ihrem multikulturellen Musikprogramm und den interessanten Interviews, die mein Leben bereichern.
Lora braucht Freundinnen und Freunde. Macht mit auf lora.ch.
Lora, das politische, feministische, kulturelle und experimentelle Radioprogramm für Zürich, ist auf ständige Unterstützung angewiesen.